Good morning, Redemption Church. It's a wonderful opportunity to share with you all today the word of God. I hope you can all hear me very well. You can wave your hand and thanks, Pastor Barry. So, I was given this opportunity to really speak about interacting with the word of God as a spiritual discipline. And if you guys know me, I love the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I gave him a while back. The length of time, it doesn't matter. If you gave your life to Christ yesterday, we are still brothers. But I've walked with God in his word, and his word has constantly been a pillar in my life. I had a mother who loved the word of God. She was deep in the word, not deep in terms of she just read it and studied it. I'm glad that she taught me that and I took on that. And it means a lot to me to really be able to share today with you just the word of God. So in just a brief, what I'm going to be doing is we're going to highlight on Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And I will start by us going through chapter one, verse 1 to 9, just to get a whole picture of what's happening in that scripture. And then we'll focus on chapter 8. I'll cover two other scriptures later on. And then just to build up on chapter 8, talk then about some practices that I believe can help us to really take on the word of God. And finally, we're just going to end with just some questions. If we have time, give some testimonies, my personal testimonies, but also at the end, just for us to internally reflect, where are we with the word of God? As we are headed into a new year, as we're headed into this new year, just for us to really reflect, hey, where am I with God's word? 2020 was a hard year for anyone, for companies, for businesses, for governments, for anybody who was in 2020. Even the animals had a hard time. But it's really a time of, okay, 2021's here. Let's look forward to what it can be. So we're going to be reading on Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. I'll take us through the whole of that section, and then we'll just zero it in. So Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 says that, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Amen. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Verse 7 says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The next, we'll read once again, verse 8. And I'm going to read a different version, which I really love. It says that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That's NKJV. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do to all, that you may be observed to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. I love this scripture. One, it's at the beginning of Joshua. So if you ever get lost and you need to remember where this scripture is, just find the book of Joshua. It's the first verses. And I love that. And as I was reading the scripture, one of the things that stood out to me is that, number one, Moses has passed on. Joshua has been given the mantle. And this is God giving Joshua instructions. So as we read from verse 2 onwards to 9, it's God speaking to Joshua. It's not anyone else. It's God himself saying, hey, Joshua, you're crossing over into the promised land, but I'm going to do these great things, but I ask that you obey obey the every law that I've given to you, servant Moses, keep it, and you will be successful. So God is the one speaking this word to his people, and I believe it's to us today. And it says, I love the way verse 8, it really breaks it down into three things. God tells them, one, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, meaning meditate. It has to be on your lips. You have to speak it to one another. Speak it to yourself. Can you imagine? Speak the word to yourself. Let it be in your conversation. It doesn't depart. It's always there. The next thing he talks about is meditate on it. Dwell on that word. Let it sit on you. Let it just sit in your mind. And do it day and night, meaning constantly. In the morning you rise, in the evening you're there, and there. Pastor Barry was talking about prayer last time, and he was talking about how prayer is a discipline. Keep praying day and night. So even here, God is saying, even the word, keep praying day and night, that you may be able to observe all that is written, all that is written according to it. You know, maybe you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Ooh, a bit of a tongue twister. But the key thing is that as you meditate on it, as you speak it, that you're careful to observe it, to follow what God has said. And I was like, wow. The reason why this scripture also is really such a key scripture to me is one day I was reading it and I was just taking time to think about it way back when I think I was in university. And I was reading it and there's that portion of verse 8 that I highlighted is that God then gives something to Joshua. He tells him, after you've done these three things, you speak it, you keep it on your lips, you meditate on it day and night, it's always in your mind, and you're careful to observe everything that's written according to it, then you will make your way prosperous, you know, and then you will have good success. That blew my mind away. Why? I'm used to God giving a scream that I will bless you, I will do this. But here God's changing the thing. He's saying that, no. Do these three things and you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Another version just says that you will be prosperous and successful. Wow. So I was like, I remember when I heard that word and it's like God just dropped some nugget. I call them nuggets of treasure. Just came and dropped your mouth. Like, this word is inbuilt for me to make you prosperous and successful. I don't even have to come to tell you anything else. Just meditate on my word. Think about it. Let it be on your mind and on your lips and obey it, and the rest will follow. So I was like, whoo, hallelujah. But as I read this scripture and I was preparing for this, I was like, okay, that's a really powerful one. And I asked myself, does God talk anywhere else about the scriptures? Are there any other? I love doing this nowadays. I read one scripture and I challenge myself, where else can I find God talking about his word like this? And the next scripture that came up is in James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. And it goes like this. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away immediately and forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Ooh, another powerful scripture. So basically, James is telling us, and at verse 22 is very clear, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. I like another version that goes and says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only. Doers of the word, not hearers. Verse 25, he says that whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom. So you're looking intently. That's looking with purpose. You're like, okay, this is God's word. Here it is. And continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. They will be blessed in what they do. So James is telling us, people, listen to this, listen to this scripture. Do not just be hearers, but doers. Keep doing what it says, and you will be blessed in what you do. Okay, so I was reading that scripture, I was like, okay, and the last one I'll share is Psalms chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, beginning of Psalms. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in a way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. So in addition to James, in Psalms, the psalmist or David is saying, hey, not only meditate, but he says those who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night, similar to Joshua, they meditate, but you also delight in it. You will be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prospers. The point of those three scriptures is simply to tell you all this. There is a power in the word of God. There is a power when you accept it to resonate in your heart, when you meditate on it day and night, when you speak it one to another, to yourself, when you teach it to your children. It's life-giving. The word of God is life-giving. You know, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that, for the word of God is living and powerful. And if there's anything you go with today, is I would love you to go with that, that the word of God is living. And when you, it's why we need to interact it with it as a spiritual discipline. I love prayer, but prayer then with the word of God is an explosive mixture. The Holy Spirit takes those two and transforms us. He can take it and show you things, take you to another level. But that's my prayer. That was we're discussing the word of God, scripture, and these are just three scriptures. It keeps repeating. It's a recurring theme that God will mention in his word. His word is important. It is blessed. It is alive. It's powerful. It's useful for correction. His word is him, and he values it. And so should we. So should we value the word of God. And maybe there now you're telling me, okay, Martin, I love that. The word of God, we know it, it's powerful. How to incorporate it into our daily lives more and more? Pastor Barry, we've been covering on the book on God in My Everything by Ken Shigematsu. And he really does talk about this, about several ways he meditates on the word of God. And the one thing I will want to say that I really loved about that book, that really he shared it, is that the word of God is a tool. You know, I'm just like part of it. He just said that the word of God is a tool to build intimacy with God. If you read the whole word of God and memorized it perfectly, it's not the end, but it's a tool to connect us to God himself, to know what God is thinking, to know what God's heart and rhythm is all about. When Jesus came, the Pharisees knew the word perfectly, but they missed. They were seeing the Son of God, but they weren't comprehending. How is this too? So there is a component that as you read the word of God, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to help you understand the word. And it's not about, oh, I know the whole word. It's daily devotion to the word of God. It's reading it. It's meditating. It's inviting God to be part of you in your day to day. It's not just saying, I have this picture that you read the whole of the Bible or you read everything in January and you say, I'm done for the year. I've read the whole Bible January. I don't need to read February up to December. I'm good. The word of God doesn't work like that. It's Jesus said, as he quoted from Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You need a daily dosage every day. And the more you do it every day, the more it saturates us. But one of the things that I will cover that I pray and I ask that I felt that as we go into this new year is studying the Word of God. Now, as I talk about some of these practices, the question I will ask you, where are you? Are you good with studying the Word of God? Are you an expert? If you are, great, keep on doing it. But if you struggle, or if you're like me, who sometimes we don't want to read the Word, we want to do other things, I want to just encourage you that we need to study the Word. And the question is, individually, yes. Corporately, yes. And you can even be held accountable by a friend. The Word of God needs to be studied. You can read it, you can hear it, but then you also need to study it to get to that next level. And I pray individually, and then I pray corporately. How do I do corporately? You have your small groups. I love my small group because we're always reading the Word of God. It blesses me. Of course, we do other things. We talk about other stuff, but we have the Word, time for the Word, and that blesses me. I love hearing what other people have to say about the Word of God. It really gives me hope. And sometimes also now, like in my house, my wife and I are doing, we're using a Bible app and we're both doing a devotion together, and it's helping us. We're holding each other accountable. We're always asking each other, have you read today? Have I read? And we read it together. So it's that holding each other accountable. The next is meditating on the Word. Now, maybe that word might scare you. It did scare me for a long time, but I came to realize meditating is just thinking about the word of God. And I'll give you an example that I use, and I believe even in God in My Everything, the book, he does mention it. He says, it's when you read the Word of God, what jumps out for you? When you even read a verse, what stands out? And then he say, go back and think about it. If you read Joshua, like for me, Joshua 1:8, that part where God says, you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. And I connected it to scripture. It changed me. I dwelt on it. I chewed it. And I was like, God was telling me, if I read his word, I'll make my way prosperous. I'll be successful. And it's on and on. So that's a key thing. Next is applying the word. You can study it, you can meditate on it, you can even memorize it as the next step. But are we applying it? The Word of God is a powerful force. But the question is, and I feel for many of us sometimes, is it does come sometimes with a cost, because God gives you the truth of a situation and you are left with a choice. Do I obey what God says clearly in his word? And you seek counsel. I'm not just saying you read it and you just go apply. You seek counsel. You talk to your pastors. You talk to your leaders. You talk to people, your friends who are in the word. God is convicting me to do this with my life. The question is, do we obey? And I feel sometimes that's the battle. That's the real battle. Because there's a prayer that I had. We were doing a conference by Reverend Mike Flynn, and it was on the sermon we were doing, that he said, it was a session we had, he made a prayer, Lord, open your word to me and allow me to open myself to your word. Yeah, the Inner Healing Prayer Conference, thanks Pastor Barry. The first part of the prayer was a common prayer for me. Lord, as I read your word, open your word to me that I may hear it. Yes. But the second part, I felt convicted. It's telling God, come into this heart of mine, broken, not perfect as it is, and make it right according to your word. That's not easy. I will not lie. That is not an easy prayer, because it means God comes and aligns you to his will. And sometimes there's friction and there's pain and there's stretching. There's some discipline, correction, rebuking. Whoa, God throws the punches. He molds you to become the perfect vessel that he wants you to be. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That prayer to this day, after that conference, I had that prayer and it still rings in my head. And I prayed cautiously, of course, asking God, give me the grace. Because when I had that picture that as God enters his word, puts his word in me, it's giving him the authority to make things right. It's giving him the authority to go into your past, your present, and your future, to shape you to be the man or woman he's called you to be. That's a dangerous prayer, but it's a necessary prayer. It's letting the communication with God be a two-way street. God gives you his word, but he invites you more into his word, but his word is invited into your heart. And then the Holy Spirit comes and works on you. Ooh, powerful. It makes me shiver sometimes. And the last thing I say is that I'm really encouraged by one thing, that the church and the Christians are really upgrading with technology. I love seeing new apps that come up and have, like there's an app that has the Bible app, I believe by YouVersion. And I believe now you can do a Bible study with other people within the church. I believe the Minsu started a group with some other people and they're reading a Bible verse. They're doing a study together, the word. I love that because it allows people to see scripture. I use YouVersion, for example, to share scriptures with a picture. I love pictures. Pictures is how I memorize things sometimes. So when I read the word of God and there's a perfect scripture, man, I send that scripture to my family, I send it to my life group, and it's just one scripture. Sometimes that's what I tell God, I have faith and I tell God, Lord, may this scripture minister to others as it has ministered to me. It just has to be one scripture. I believe even just one scripture can help someone get across the day, can help someone who's discouraged or someone who's there, who's not really with God, be encouraged. And that's why I love to do it. So I would encourage you, if you use these apps, if you're struggling reading the word, last year I said was a tough time, but find a new rhythm this year. It doesn't have to be a whole chapter. It can be one verse, it can be two verses, but consistency. Remember, this is a spiritual discipline we want to put in us. So it's reading two verses every day, three verses. And I want to encourage you all that God, it's not a race to see who's more equipped with the word of God, in case you feel that way. But it's an invitation by the Lord himself to come and be, interact with him. I love God because he keeps encouraging me. He's like, Martin, run your race. Run the race that's set out for you. So I challenge myself to be the best I need to be in this moment, at this time, for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm pushing myself. I'm running against the Martin. I'm chasing the Martin God has called me to be. I'm not there yet. But I keep seeing that picture and I say, God, I want to be this Martin. I see this and I ask Holy Spirit, is this the Martin you want to be? Yes, I run to be that Martin. And that Martin knows the word very well and memorizes it. I'm not yet there yet, but I hope to get there. And that's my encouragement to all of you. Where is God calling you? In your individual walk, in your corporate walk, as a church. Don't look elsewhere. We love to look elsewhere. Look at you and God. Sit with him. Ask him. I can give you this encouragement. Jesus is one of the most gentlest saviors. He's a gentle savior. He's not with a whip. Run, run. No. He's a coach who sits with you and says, you can do it. We've got to shave some things off. We've got to give you good gear. We've got to make you be more. Then you run. And he encourages and he runs with you. The Holy Spirit, when you give him time, he's the coolest. I love the Holy Spirit. He's silent, but deadly. When he speaks a word into my heart, oh, I can fall and just be like, oh, Holy Spirit, speak, Holy Spirit. I love you, Holy Spirit, because that's who he is. And he's the governor. He is the counselor, the Spirit of truth. I love them. I love the Father. I love the Son. I love the Holy Spirit. They are a very, to me, God is an amazing thing. I think he loves a lot. I believe he loves a lot. And he's just amazing to serve. And so as I come to conclusion, I really just wanted us to really contemplate and think, where are you with God right now in his word? You know, as I've talked and maybe I've shared some things that have stood out for you, Where are you with God? What is God telling you? And where do you want to be with God's word? And I think one thing is to say, it's okay to be honest. If you're not where you need to be, that's fine. The greatest thing about 2021, 2020 was so bad. 2021, you can start anywhere. You have the authority to start again. Did you lose a rhythm? I know I did. I lost many rhythms and I'm still trying to find them again, step by step. Where do you need to be at now? And the third thing is, what steps can you do to get there? Is it reading the word every morning? Is it reading the word every night? Is it reading the word when you're traveling to work, when you have lunchtime and you're working from home and you can read 15 minutes? Whatever you need to do, what do you need to do to saturate yourself with the word of God again? Right. That's my timer. So where do you need to be with God right now? And I really just wanted to really end with that reflection that God is calling us into his presence. God is calling us to speak, to be with him, to commune with him in his word. I had the analogy that I felt God just sharing with me that the prayer is like a Boeing 787. It can travel the globe. But the word of God is like the jet fuel. The plane cannot go anywhere without the jet fuel. It needs that potency, that combustible material to be put in the scripture. It needs that jet fuel needs to be in the plane. And then the Holy Spirit is a spark that ignites it. And then the plane can go anywhere in the world. That is what God's word is when it comes to prayer and the word. It helps us. Excuse me. The word of God helps us. It's jet fuel. When you refine it, when the Holy Spirit comes and he ignites it, you can go to such great echelons in the spirit with God in prayer that it's amazing. So I just want to encourage you all that. That's why we need the two. We need prayer. Prayer is vital, but you also need the word of God in you, being, you know, meditating, speaking it, and just applying it so that you're a complete Christian. But even as we just take a minute or so to think, I want you to reflect on, where are you with God? You know, I have that picture. Picture Jesus seated by a chair, overlooking the ocean, like in the Pacific Spirit. And just let him, what would Jesus, if you sat with Jesus today, what would he be telling you about where he wants you to be with his word? So we'll do 1 minute, then I'll pray, and then we'll go to the next worship set. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have you and we have your word. And Lord, we praise you that your word it's good and it sucks. It's inbuilt. If we meditate on it, if we keep it on our lips, if we are careful to observe everything that's according to your word, then it will help us to be successful, prosperous and successful in everything we do. Your word has a power that cannot be matched. Your word is not like a fictional book. It is life. It's truth. It's everything that we need. And I ask God that as we begin this year, as even we begin this fast, as we head out, Lord, take us back to your word. I confess for myself, God, if I have not been as active in your word or read it to the level you want for me, Lord, help me. And I pray the same for everyone who's listening. That God, you're calling us to you. You're calling us to meditate in your word to think about it, to speak it, and to be careful to do everything that is written according to it. And so I ask God, forgive us if we have not been very hungry for your word in the past, but as we move forward, give us that hunger once again. Give us that desire, give us that passion for your word. And I thank you, God, that you're not calling us to prove a point to anyone, but you're calling us to be the best for us as you lead us with your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, I invite you to come and be the fire that burns the word, that makes the fuel, which is the word of God, become explosive in us. That imagery, God, of just you causing us to come alive with your word. Holy Spirit, come and teach us your word, that as we meditate on it, as we think of it, we do not lose sight of you. That the word is to help us to have an intimate relationship with you, Father, with you, Holy Spirit, with you, Lord Jesus. I pray for everyone who's listening that the word of God will become center to their lives once again. So, Lord, we do pray and we do ask all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.